May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer, our Protector. In January of this year, I returned from having spent Christmas with my family in the States. And I was looking forward to 2020. I had a number of things planned. I'd booked to go on a tramp on early April around the Lake Waikiri Moana, one of the great walks. I was expecting a third grandchild in the States at the end of April. I was looking forward to going over and seeing her in May and also doing some trekking in the Grand Canyon. My family were looking to come out here this coming Christmas, which would have been the first real New Zealand Christmas for my granddaughters. And then there were the usual activities such as joining with you people in worship each Sunday, going to cafes, going on weekly tramps. But, along came COVID-19. When the full ramifications of COVID-19 became apparent, I felt a bit like the author of the first slide. This was despite the trivial nature of the disruption to my plans compared with some of the problems other people have faced. Those of you for whom your employment has been jeopardized, those who've lost loved ones. All of us have had to make sacrifices so that this country of ours can try to eliminate COVID-19. You may recall the advertisement on television that showed vacant sports grounds, vacant children's playgrounds. We were told we had to accept some restrictions now so that these could be filled again in the future. We had to put aside immediate short-term gratification for long-term permanent gain. And that is part of the message of today's gospel. It's from the gospel according to St. Matthew, and just to put that a little bit into context, that gospel was primarily aimed at Jewish readers, Jewish Christians. By the time it was written, Jewish Christians had been disowned by the Jewish authorities and were being persecuted. Stephen had been put to death, James, the brother of John, had been put to death, and so had others. Many of the Jewish Christians would have been rejected by their families, as well as facing persecution at large. In terms of Christ's ministry, this passage comes at a time when he had been roundly criticized and attacked by the Jewish authorities. They'd even gone so far as to say that the miracles that he performed were performed through the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Even his own family thought that he was out of his mind and had come and tried to bring him back home and get him under control. But Jesus put his ministry above his family and their wishes. Jesus would also have been aware that the road he was on led to the cross. And this passage comes as he's just about to send out his disciples to proclaim the good news and to do healing in his name. So he prepares them for what they might face. He warns them that they too will suffer the same attacks as he has suffered. He says of a servant is not above the master, nor student above the teacher. If the authorities attack the master, so too will they attack the servants doing the master's will. But Jesus goes on and says, do not be afraid. Don't worry about these attacks. They can only kill the body. Be more concerned about those that can kill our souls. Preserving our souls is much more important than temporary attacks in this world. There then come three interrelated warnings. as to what can endanger our souls. First, if we acknowledge Christ before others, Christ will acknowledge us before his Father. But if we disown Christ before others, he might disown us at the time when it really counts, at the last. Second, we need to be aware that acknowledging Christ before others may cause problems. Those problems can be from our very own family. But if we love our family more than we love Christ and pull back from acknowledging Christ as a result, then we're not worthy of Jesus. Thirdly, if we face opposition, or when we face opposition, if we try to save our lives by doing what the world wants and not what Jesus wants, we will in fact lose eternal life. It is only if we are prepared to take up our cross will we find life. That is, it is only if we're prepared to make sacrifices in this life can we be sure of finding the fullness of life and above all, eternal life. Each of these warnings comes in the context that this life is just a phase. We need to remember that death is not the end. It is simply an usher on the stage of eternal life. Death is not the end, it is simply the usher on the stage of eternal life. There are three broad ways in which we can disown Christ. By what we say, by what we don't say, and by our actions. By what we say. In New Zealand, it probably doesn't often occur, other than when Kat was up here a few minutes ago, that we're called upon to say whether we're Christians and run the risk of saying no because of what the world wants. But in other parts of the world, to confess that you're a Christian brings real penalties. It can mean loss of job. It can mean being disowned by a family. It can lead to imprisonment and even death. This is the case not only in some Muslim countries, but in places like China, North Korea, Laos, just to name some. There have been cases in northern Kenya where buses have been stopped by militant Islamists who get everybody out and ask them to say Allah Akbar, which is a confession of the Muslim faith. And if they don't say it, they're shot. Many have not said it and faced that penalty. I sometimes ask myself, how would I respond in that situation? I invite you to ask the same question of yourselves. Yet, in many of those places where the cost of discipleship is high, the church is thriving, it's growing. This only occurred in China, but also in other parts of the world. I'm told the church is growing in Iran. And there, prison is a very real threat for the Christian leaders. And then there's by what we don't say. At Ian Cook's installation service earlier this year, Bishop Ely said that we in Wellington probably live in the most secular city in the world. As Christians, we're very much in a minority and more regarded as an oddity. How often does the opportunity arise to say that we're Christians or churchgoers, but we fail to take that opportunity out of fear that we might be thought to be odd? It might be as simple as people asking, what are you doing this weekend? Do you tell them that you're going to church? It may be more complex, such as failing to speak out on matters where we see things happening that are contrary to God's word, contrary to the way God wants us to act. Our God is a God who, in the words of prophet Micah, requires us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before God. Or in the words of Deuteronomy, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widows, and loves the foreigner residing in your midst. We should speak out when we see injustice happening to the vulnerable in our community, including to immigrants, to Maori, to blacks. We should speak out when we see wrong being done. But the failure to do so because we don't want to stand out from the crowd may be a denial of Christ. And then there's our actions. And this can be the most tricky one. In Romans 12, Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed." We are called to lead lives that are not conformed by the values and standards of this world, but to lead transformed lives, lives that proclaim the love of Christ, even if it costs us in worldly terms. Ethical lives, lives full of love, lives full of kindness, lives full of generosity. Putting God first ahead of our own material comfort, financial well-being, or how others think of us. In the parable of the sower, we're told that there are four types of soil on which the seed falls. There's a rocky, gravelly path where it doesn't even take root. There's a shallow ground where it fails at the first sign of adversity. And then there is the third sort of ground, which is very relevant in the Western world. It's where it falls among plants and thorns. As Jesus explains it, this is where the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. And finally, there's a good soil where it yields much fruit. In the Western world, we have unprecedented wealth and consumerism and an emphasis on the individual and on me first. It is no coincidence that the church here is not bearing much fruit. We, and I certainly include myself in this, we too easily get conformed by our world, by the desires for a comfortable life and material possession, the desire to be thought of well by our colleagues, our workmates, our friends. The challenge for us is, do we deny Christ in the way we use our money and our lack of generosity and how we earn and retain wealth and the way we live our lives? I find the words of the confession in page 404 communion service particularly appropriate. This is when we ask for forgiveness, not just for the wrong we have done, but for the good we have not done. I take comfort that Peter denied Christ three times and yet was forgiven and went on to lead a very productive and fruitful ministry, witnessing to the risen Christ. As I said at the beginning, in recent weeks, we as New Zealand citizens have been called upon to make short-term sacrifices in order to achieve the long-term goal of elimination of COVID-19 from New Zealand. To a large extent, that sacrifice was involuntary, as the rules were imposed on us by the government. But it did require our support and our biome if it was to succeed, as it has done to a large measure. Christ calls us to make voluntary short-term sacrifices in this life for eternal gain in the next. And there were some good aspects in the lockdown. When out walking, I enjoyed meeting people that I hadn't seen for many years. I was able to reflect more on God's word. I enjoyed the lack of traffic, even if it did take some of the thrill out of the local sport of jaywalking. And even although I was not able to go to the States to see my grandchildren, I did get regular contact through FaceTime and regular photos of the latest edition seeing her grow. Photos such as the one that came in the last week of Zoe, age 7 weeks. Now, I couldn't get away with showing that sign but for COVID-19 and being able to do a bit of grandparental bragging. So too, if we follow Jesus in our daily life, Christ promises to walk beside us, to comfort us, to give us the words to say, to be there with us. We know that we are loved by God and valued by him. Even the number of hairs on our head are counted, although some of us present less challenge to God in that respect than others. In fact, we will have much fuller, more meaningful lives walking the way of Christ than if we succumb to the pressures of conformity with this world. So I want to ask you now to observe a few minutes of silence during which you ask God to reveal to you areas of your life where he's challenging you to make some form of sacrifice in order that his kingdom may come on earth as it is in heaven. Areas where you can better speak up for Christ in our secular society through word and deed. Let us just listen to what God is whispering to us in our consciences now. Now, in the words of James' epistle, go and be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen.